Lutheran Radio UK presents Love Letters, a study on the Apostle Paul's Epistle to the Romans with Pastor Arno Bessel.
My name is Arno Bessel. I'm pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. It is a pleasure to have you listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Welcome to Love Letters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Our last study concentrated on God's way of salvation is by faith. We have seen that no human being attains righteousness by obeying God's law or by doing good works. We have also seen that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, makes us righteous by faith in Him. Now, faith is given by hearing the word of Christ. Through the hearing of Christ's word, the Holy Spirit works faith in the heart of the listener. Today we would like to reflect on the theme, God is merciful towards all people. Let us then get on board with the Apostle Paul and read from the letter he wrote to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 1 to 10.
I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah, how he appeals to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have demolished your altars, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. But what is God's reply to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace would no longer be grace. What then? Israel failed to obtain what it was seeking. The elect obtained it, but the rest were hardened. As it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes that would not see and ears that would not hear, down to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them, to let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see and bend their backs forever.
In previous studies, we have noticed that God chose Israel to be his people. However, several things went wrong with that nation because many Israelites abandoned God, became unfaithful, and failed to live as it was expected. Whose fault was it that caused Israel to fail? Well, there are always people ready to answer. Some wanted to blame God as if he didn't do his job to look after Israel. The Apostle Paul asks, has God rejected his people? The answer is, by no means. God didn't push aside or repudiate Israel. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. God chose Israel to be his people through whom he would carry out his saving purpose. In practice, however, it seemed that God's purpose would not come true because Israel failed as a nation. God invested time, effort, and all other means, but Israel went from bad to worse. Over the years, God tried and tried again, but positive results could hardly be noticed. It seemed that everything was lost with Israel and that nothing was left except rejection, unbelief, and rebellion. From a human perspective, to find a true believer among the Israelites was as difficult as trying to find a needle in a haystack. But then the Apostle Paul unfolds an interesting aspect. Although the picture was gloomy, there was hope. Something good could still be found in Israel. Paul refers to himself and says, I myself am an Israelite. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and so there must be other believers in Israel. Paul sustains his statement by an example from the Old Testament. He speaks of the prophet Elijah. In Elijah's day, there was much unbelief, idolatry, immorality, and evil practices in Israel. Many prophets of God had been killed by the Israelites. Things looked so bad that Elijah had the feeling that he was the only believer left in all Israel. Besides, Elijah's life was at the stake and he could be killed. God, however, showed the true picture to the prophet Elijah. God said to Elijah not to despair. Why not? Because God had preserved 7,000 men who believed and were faithful. There was a remnant left. As it happened to be in Elijah's day, so it was in Paul's day. Despite of widespread apostasy, rebellion, and unbelief, a faithful small remainder of Israelites survived. God had chosen a remnant to remain. Why did he do it? Not because that small number of people were highly qualified. No, God chose a remnant by grace alone. God's grace was the cause and the foundation why a remnant continued faithful. Those were God's elected people, the ones who believed in Jesus Christ. What to say about all the other ones, the great majority? Paul answers, the rest were hardened. Because of their unbelief, the majority fell under God's righteous judgment. Their hearts were hardened. Their eyes lost sight. Their ears turned deaf. Was it the case that God loved some Israelites to the exclusion of all the others? No. Did God predestine a small number to salvation and the majority to condemnation? By no means. The fact that a remnant continued faithful and was saved is exclusively due to God's grace. The fact that a majority was hardened and fell under God's judgment was because they rebelled against God, they rejected God's grace, and did not believe in Jesus Christ. The following story might help us to get a better glimpse of the picture. On an empty plot lay a huge pile of rubbish for years and years. Eventually, the owner decided to remove the rubbish. It seemed to be a very challenging and tiring job. Hush, who can do that? Is it worth? It must be done nonetheless. While the rubbish was being removed little by little, suddenly the eyes of the man spotted a sparkling object. A little one, though. The man picked up the object, all stained, and examined it. He thought, who knows, this could be something valuable. Then he decided to take his little finding to an expert. To his amazement, that little sparkling object, apparently of no value, happened to be a precious diamond worth a fortune. You see, among a pile of rubbish, a super precious gem. We sometimes may have the impression that the Christian faith lost ground in our days. It seems that there is no room anymore for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christianity is doomed to failure. We may get the impression that the world around us is reduced to a pile of rubbish and that Christians are a rare species in extinction. God's word, however, shows us the whole and real picture. The Lord assures us that there always is and there always will be a remnant, a small remainder of faithful believers. In the midst of a world of turbulence, of agnosticism, of atheism, and so many other isms, there always is a precious gem left. Precious to God, loved by God, treasured by God. I am sure that by His grace, God has made me part of the remnant. And I also pray that you may be a precious gem among the remnant believers. We will be back after a short break. Please stay with us.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Since 1962, Westfield House in Cambridge has been preparing students with the knowledge, attitudes and skills necessary for the ministry of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and its proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a centre of theological studies, it also seeks to serve the Lutheran Church, both in this country and overseas, by the promotion of Christian learning at all levels. Westfield House provides theological education within the framework of a confessional Lutheran perspective and offers resources that further the understanding of that perspective. Westfield House also offers the only significant Lutheran library in the country. Find out more about Westfield House on the internet at www.westfieldhouse.org.uk. Westfield House, the Theological College of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. We hope that you are enjoying our program because it's all about Christ and to all God's people.
Welcome back to Love Letters. You are listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I'm Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. We are studying Paul's letter to the Romans. We have seen that God showed mercy towards the people of Israel and preserved a remnant of faithful in that nation. Having said that, the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 11 to 16.
So I ask, did they stumble in order that they might fall? By no means. Rather, through their trespass, salvation has come to the Gentiles, so as to make Israel jealous. Now if their trespass means riches for the world, and if their failure means riches for the Gentiles, how much more will their full inclusion mean? Now I am speaking to you, Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? If the dough offered as first fruits is holy, so is the whole lump, and if the root is holy, so are the branches.
The apostle asks, has Israel stumbled to the point of being lost forever? No, is the answer. What happened was that because Israel rejected the message of Christ, the apostle turned to the Gentiles and preached Christ to them. The gospel bore fruits among the Gentiles. Many of them came to faith in Jesus and were saved. It seems awkward, but the fact of the matter was that through Israel's sin of rejecting the gospel, salvation came to the Gentiles. The evil some people committed became a blessing to others. Paul is addressing the Gentiles. He says that he was trying to do the best in his job of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles in order to make his fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. The results produced by the gospel among the Gentiles should lead the Jews to covet, in the good sense, the blessings of salvation for themselves. The line of thought goes like this. If the gospel of Christ is good and fruitful to others, why couldn't it be good and fruitful to us? In summary, the Christian faith flourished among Gentiles while rejection prevailed among Israel. However, the apostle envisions that some among the Israelites would return to the Lord. So we see that, in the overall picture, prevails the wonderful truth that God is merciful towards all people. The apostle continues to develop the subject of Israel having fallen away from God and Gentiles having been included in God's people. Paul uses an interesting image, the image of an olive tree and its branches. Listen to what he writes in his letter to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 17 to 24.
But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, although a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and no share in the nourishing root of the olive tree, do not be arrogant towards the branches. If you are, remember it is not you who support the root, but the root that supports you. Then you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand fast through faith. So do not become proud, but stand in awe. For if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you. Note then that the kindness and the severity of God, severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. And even they, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you were cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, the natural branches, be grafted back into their own olive tree?
Paul uses the metaphor or image of an olive tree with its natural branches and grafted branches to speak about Israel and Gentiles. The metaphor reflects an ancient practice of invigorating an olive tree by grafting in branches from a wild tree. An olive tree grows slowly, maturing over 30 years. Pruning and grafting enables a tree to produce fruit for centuries or even millennia. The cultivative olive tree Paul is talking about represents Israel, God's people, and heirs of the promise of salvation. The wild olive tree represents the Gentiles. In the case in point, God pruned or cut off branches of the uncultivated olive tree, that is, Israelites, because of their unbelief. They proved to be unfruitful, and consequently, they were removed. In place of the natural branches cut away, shoots from a wild olive tree were grafted into the cultivated olive tree. These shoots from a wild olive tree grafted into a cultivated tree represent the Gentiles. Expressing it in another way, Israelites have been broken off from God's people because of their unbelief, and in their place, Gentiles have been incorporated into God's people. That leads us to conclude the following. Unbelief cuts off, but faith grafts into. The fact that Israelites had been cut off and in their place Gentiles had been grafted in created a delicate situation. Namely, Gentiles boasted over Israelites. Gentiles could easily become proud of having been grafted into the cultivated olive tree. Paul needed to warn sternly the Gentile readers of his letter. You Gentiles, Paul says, don't make too much of yourselves. Don't be self-confident. Don't feel superior to the Israelites. Don't despise them. The danger continues till this day. to believers reckoning themselves superior or better than non-believers. Self-confidence, self-righteousness, and pride poison the true faith and can destroy true faith. Be careful, Paul says. Consider both God's severity toward those who have fallen and consider God's kindness to you. If you are a believer, that is because of God's grace. It was not you, but it was God who grafted you into the cultivated olive tree. As a result, there is no reason whatsoever for boasting. Paul also reminds the Gentile readers of his letter that God is willing and can graft back into the cultivated tree the natural branches once cut off. That is to say, God, by His grace, has the power to do what from a human perspective is impossible, to graft back cut-off branches into the olive tree. That is to say, unbelieving Israelites could return to faith and be grafted back into the olive tree. God can restore to faith those who have fallen away. Again, the wonderful truth prevails. God is merciful towards all people. Long before Paul, Jesus used the image of the vine and its branches to picture his relationship with believers. In John chapter 15, verses 1 to 5, Jesus declares, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the true vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Paul concludes his discussion by referring to the mystery of the salvation both of Israelites and Gentiles. In his letter to the Romans chapter 11, verses 25 to 36, he writes,
"Lest you be wise in your own conceits, I want you to understand this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the Deliverer will come from Zion, he will banish ungodliness from Jacob. And this will be my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have been disobedient, in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counsellor? Or who has given a gift to him, that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory for ever. Amen."
The salvation God prepared in Jesus Christ and offers to human beings is a mystery indeed. It goes much beyond our limited understanding. In an attempt to keep it simple, we can conclude from the apostles' statements the following. all people, Israelites and Gentiles, including you and me, all people are imprisoned in their disobedience, with no possibility to escape unless God in His mercy releases them. The experience of the Israelites and of the Gentiles is similar. Both have received mercy in the face of disobedience. Because of Israel's disobedience, undeserving Gentiles received mercy. Because of mercy shown to the Gentiles, disobedient Jews will receive mercy. Once again stands out the wonderful truth: God is merciful towards all people. God's mercy is a mystery indeed. We can only marvel and join in the words of St. Paul: "O the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are His judgments, and how inscrutable His ways! The wealth of God's grace and glory, the wisdom of His purposeful actions in history to save, and His intimate knowledge of us are too deep for human beings to comprehend." God is merciful towards all people. God is merciful to you and to me. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. My name is Arno Bessel. I am pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth. To find out more about the Lutheran Church in Plymouth, go to stpeterslutherans.co.uk. Welcome to our Sunday services at 11 a.m. and our Bible studies on Wednesday at 7 p.m. To find the nearest Lutheran congregation to you, go to lutheran.co.uk. Locate on the website directory, and there you will find a list of the congregations. We will be back at the same time next week to continue reflecting on love letters. We hope you will join us to study the theme, A Living Sacrifice. Should you have any questions or comments on our studies of love letters, please write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Note also that the podcast of our studies is available for download. All you need to do is to go to lutheranradio.co.uk, find podcasts, and select love letters. Please stay tuned into Lutheran Radio UK and enjoy the next program. God bless and keep you.